His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sairam. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you in real time from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, my home, my heaven and the abode of highest peace. The time in the ashram right now is exactly 35 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And yes, it is for a specific reason that I logged in 5 minutes too soon, and you will soon find out why. Today is Thursday, April the 12th, 2018, and it's a fine morning here in the ashram. The current temperature is 30 degrees Celsius with clear skies, plenty of sunshine and zero air or noise pollution. They don't call us Prashanti Nilayam for nothing. There's a reason for it. No noise. Today, we are expecting daytime highs of 38 degrees Celsius later in the afternoon and overnight lows 24. That'll be Celsius. We are metric in India. Serving the ashram and its allied institutions currently are the dedicated Sevadal volunteers from the states of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. We salute our Sai sisters and brothers who come from all over India every single week to selflessly volunteer their services at the lotus feet of their Sadguru, our Sadguru, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Dear brothers and sisters, doesn't that make you wonder what power there is in Baba's love that every single week, 52 weeks in a year, men and women and youth from various states of India come here using their personal vacation time to serve his mission, and each volunteer bears his or her own expenses. And they do so with such joy and gratitude because they're so grateful for the opportunity. Naturally, one is left spellbound at the power of this divine land to draw such goodness and sacrifice from so many. As a daughter of lifelong Sevadal parents, I salute every Sevadal volunteer in this great nation of Bharat. Dear sisters and brothers, today on Morning Glory, I have a studio guest with me who will tell us about the universal appeal and the universal application of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba's teachings in every nook and corner of the globe and in every culture and community. Dr. Ranga Ranganathan, PhD, PEng, lives in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, where he serves the First Nations and Métis communities, among others, a menu packed with Sai love, laced with the sweetness of Sai teachings, and finds total resonance from the original inhabitants of the true North, strong and free. That is our land, our homeland, Canada, his and mine. On that note, I'm pleased to welcome to the studio Dr. Ranga of Saskatoon, Canada. Sairam brother, and a warm welcome, Dr. Ranga.
Sairam. I'm happy to be here.
And we are glad to have you. Now, apart from being a professional engineer, you are one busy man, I understand, as you serve as an instrument in the worship of, in the service of his divine worship, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, in a far-off land. Tell us about your work, Dr. Ranga.
Actually, first let me thank Swami for this opportunity. And also, I'm amazed at the work that Radio Sai is doing, because years ago, when I became a devotee, Swami said, and I read, saying that in future I don't need trains or buses or cars or planes. I'll be traveling around the world to my devotees, and he is doing it through Radio Sai. So when we are home, we are always listening to you in several ways, whether it's bhajan or study circle or lectures or live programs. So I thank all the people working in Radio Sai for that. So I actually went to Canada in 1968 as a student. But I came to know about Swami in 73. And 77, I had my first visit to Prashanti and had my interview, only interview in my life. But I guess that was enough. So I come here every year at least now twice. But one thing that I realized is in addition to all the visits I had, his teachings really gets to the heart of people. Yeah, one example I can give you is when you're flying from Bombay to Toronto, you don't know who the pilot is, but you're happy when you get down in your city without even realizing that pilot helped you. And in a way, a lot of times we travel in various aspects of our life not knowing it is the Swami who is our pilot. When I get down at the end, we don't even have time to thank him, but we do realize he has taken us to the destination. So when I finished my career, 33 years as an engineer and working in research area, I from 77 on, I've been Swami's devotee, and several times in my life, I was looking at what is it that I got to do, and always happened that one example would be T.R. Pillai in Canada trained me in Bal Vikas teaching. So I started with that, and then it turned into Sathya Sai Education Human Values, did for the other groups outside Sai Center. Then in year 2000, I think 1998, Paul Dahl and Tashin Dahl from Australia wrote the book for parenting program, and T.R. Pillai and Kumar trained us in year 2002 in Edmonton to do parenting program. As I started doing it for Sai centers, I realized that this program is much more universal than just Sai devotees. So I was looking at other opportunities, and it so happens a lot of times we think it's coincidence, but I started interacting with the First Nations community in Canada. Actually, even though I've been there from 68, only in year 2000 I realized the value of that community. That community are indigenous people, are more than 10,000 years old, and a lot of their values are like Sanatana Dharma in India.
Very much.
You know, so in a way it's exactly similar to what Swami says. The teepee that they used to live anciently is actually has 13 poles, and those poles, each one of them represent a value, and the family lives inside that teepee. So they teach their children value of obedience, love, protection, work friendliness, happiness. So when I looked at Swami's program and their program, I realized this resonates very well with them. And they were also simultaneously had gone through a lot of problems in Canada, because when British and French took them over, they signed an agreement treaty called As Long as the Waters Run, Rivers Flow, and Sun Shines and Air Flows, we will look after you. While that is the commitment that was made, and indigenous people did not know how to read or write, so they verbally accepted that agreement. So they more or less allowed for Europeans and Britishers to take over the land, even though they kept saying they do not own the land. Everything is owned by God. So, but what happened was they were then put into reserves, and they were told to study English language. They were told to follow their culture. So their hairs were cut off. Their children were taken from them at the age of 6. So they went through a lot of emotional trauma. Only last 10 years, the Canadian government had realized the mistakes that they've done in the past. And you have to accept now, finally, they have not only apologize for what has been done, but they also teach the indigenous education, culture, their own ways of praying in the schools, as well as they have allowed them to carry out their own festivals and activities. So when even now, some of those children who are grown up are going through the trauma because they are coming out of parents who are alcoholics or abusive, and now they're actually reinventing or revisiting their own culture. As they are revisiting, they realize the importance of human values. So when I give the workshop at the Friendship Inn, where a lot of the parents, some of them are single parents, some of them don't have parents, only grandparents look after them. So when they come to the sessions, they realize organized it under five values: Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, whereas it is truth, love, non-violence, peace. Truth is the most important thing for them because of the identity. So when I start with truth, where we are trying to identify who you are, who am I, is the most important question. And I don't teach them. It is a way it is done. It is really, Swami has made it so easy for us. My job is to be a facilitator. So I invite guest speakers from the community, like elders who have a lot of knowledge, and guest speakers from the community. When they speak to them about each value, and then I go through the questions that were actually developed by Paul and Tessie and Dahl, it's amazing how they start sharing stories. So what they call it is sharing circle. It is very similar to how we do parenting workshops. We allow them to express their stories, and amazingly their stories come out the value. So it's really very similar to Educare. What Swami says is, what is inside you, you already have. It is coming out.
You just facilitate the expression of it.
Yeah, we just facilitate. Really, love is the underlying current for all the values. So in a way, for them, love is the most important value. So we find it is really a story. So if you look at the teaching techniques, the story is one of the important thing. They have their own songs. They have their own quotations. So what I did was consolidated the manual from quotations from First Nations elders and Swami's quotations. So a lot of them may read the name Sati Sai Baba, but may not even know who he is. Unless they ask them, I don't tell them. Because Swami's way of teaching is not, you're not there to spread my name, but you're there to show the teachings by practice. And I find that is very good. And actually, as I'm doing it, I'm learning not only more about the human values, about the fact how their culture is very similar to the ancient cultures of Sanatana Dharma. And I'm very happy that I got this opportunity.
Dr. Ranga, may I ask, where in India are you from?
I am from Coimbatore.
Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu. Now, that's an interesting use of resource by Bhagwan Baba. A man from South India goes to teach the work with the native Indians who are just being released from the clutches of European imperialism, and they're trying to find their own identity and relate to their roots once again, with the freedom of expression. And you play such an important role as an instrument in this entire thing. It makes me wonder, is there anyone that the avatar did not think of bringing love and light to during his avatarhood? How much Swami has thought of everyone, even those who were marginalized in a advanced, developed country like Canada, till recently, a few years ago, when the Prime Minister of Canada apologized for the wrongs done to the peoples of the First Nations by the British and the French. It just amazes me how thoughtfully Swami has placed you in this position where you're facilitating this healing, the process of healing that is happening at a very deep level, because generations of First Nations and Métis people have gone through enormous exploitation and emotional trauma.
You're right. Actually, human value is the DNA of any culture, religion, speech, whether you're a Muslim, Hindu, or a First Nations person or Christian. When you talk about love, everybody realizes, understands, it is the love that is undercurrent for all of us. So we found, as we are teaching, we realize not only what has happened in Canada, but we look back, we have 150 million indigenous type people in India, from various parts of Canada, and I know Sati Sai Vidya Vahini and Sai Human Values are being taught in some of the schools where tribal communities are there. So in a way, when you take human values, it is more or less like the essence of everything that you. So once you realize you are wanting to be spiritual, you realize there is nothing new than what you have to be as a good person. So Swami says, see good, be good, do good, and then tell good. So in a way, all I do is facilitate good, you know, so.
So I think your work is obviously path-breaking. How did you get yourself, how did you introduce yourself and offer your services? And what was the response?
Well, like Swami says, take one step and he will look after the rest. So when T.R. Pillai and Dev Taneja taught us about the parenting workshop and then we started working with other communities, that is why the Canadian Institute of Sati Sai Education is really there as an outreach program for community. So we decided to look at that time I became familiar with First Nations through my work. Even though I've been working in that company for more than 25 years, it's the last 10 years I realized we haven't done anything with First Nations community. So when we started working with them, I not only took the cultural awareness course, I took the, you know, went and attended their various community activities. So they realized there's a lot more depth to the community. And the amazing thing is the similarities of that community with any other community in the world. So as we move, when you show your friendly hand, love seems to spring back love, more love. So a good example is recently, last year, when this one of the social coordinators in the correction center in Saskatoon heard about the program, she looked at it and said, can you do it in the jail?
Wow.
Because jail has people of the age from 18 to 30, 80% of the jail community in that provincial correction center are from First Nations origin.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did these five sessions there, they were so impressed because I brought the elders, I brought the guest speakers from the community, and Diane Anderson, who is actually from the First Nations community, she was so happy that I was able to do it, so she asked me to do it again. So I've done it twice, and so happened when I came to Toronto, I contacted the coordinator in the jail, and they seemed to be quite interested too. So in a way, only when you are going through a tough time in your life, you take a step back and look at how do we restructure our life. Nothing better than using parenting programs. Parents are always worried about children. So really, when Balvika started, we all thought it was only for the children. But it is a triangle. Teacher, children, and parents. So really, parents did not go through Balvikas. They didn't even know what Balvikas is teaching them. Now, as you are teaching parents, the parents realize the value of the Bal Vikas program or Sati Sai Education Human Values. So in the Sati Sai school in Toronto, every parent must undergo parenting program. So
yes, sir. Yeah. I've been through one. I was a parent and my husband and I. It was mandatory within the first academic year of your child's presence there. Otherwise, the child doesn't go to year two.
Yeah.
Very good idea.
Amazing thing is, while they may be reluctant to take the class, every time you meet them, and Dev Taneja has done over 160 workshops, as a review.
Yes.
And I have gotten review for every workshop I have done. I actually have recorded reviews. They say how amazed they are.
Yes.
And they don't even know how this program is coming into their life because they were always afraid of something new. As you realize, British, when they started telling you to cut your hair and they were put in residential school, that they couldn't speak their own language, they were all scared. And anything new, they first have to develop trust. So the First Nations elders who went through my program and made suggestions, they said, please start with truth, which is trying to understand who am I. Tell them about their culture. Bring the elders to talk about their culture. So if you look at my manual, which is actually Paul Dahl's manual, which I added a lot of First Nations material, you'll realize it really is amazing how every individual is really have to learn from their own culture. So that's why Swami says, you know, try to understand your own culture. If you're from India, you know, the culture from India is important for you. While you may be working abroad, is really the culture and traditions of your life. So sometimes rituals might be troubling for people who are in the teenage group. They think, oh, it's a lot of waste of time. But Swami used various techniques to inculcate these essence of teachings, love, right action, you know. Even Swami, when we talked about artha, kama, moksha, dharma, wealth, you know, moksha. So he says you have to generate wealth using dharma, in right action, and your kama should be desiring the moksha, not the other karma. So, in a way, everything he explains is down to earth. And a person who is not even knowledgeable in any scriptures would find that is so useful. But Swami makes sure that we also learn scriptures or hear scriptures as we come and sit in Prashantinilayam. Even if you don't understand the chanting that is going on, it just calms you down and wants you to learn. So a lot people abroad, you know, you would have seen a lot of people from Europe chanting Rudram here in Prashantinilayam. It's amazing how Swami is saying, you know, there is only one God, He is omnipresent. And His omnipresent God is just using or giving His human values as the showing of His omnipresence everywhere. There is no place that love doesn't exist. So, there is no place that Swami doesn't exist.
So, your engagement with Corrections Canada, where you go to these jails, you do parenting with them, but yeah. All of them are not parents. They are children.
No, they are. They are. Every one of them who was registered. Okay. Some of them came to jail the day after the child was born.
Oh, so sad.
So, and they have to be there 2 years. That means a lot of them are focused on their children. So, that is an appropriate time to talk about values. Because they realize what they did, you know, it could have been a mistake that they are in the jail. Still, they are using those 2 years to reform themselves, think about. So this program for them is very important. And I'm amazed the Corrections Canada is doing a lot of these programs, you know. So
I guess they see the value in it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Because the feedback not only I got from the people who attended the workshop, those inmates, or I call them my friends, and also the coordinator who also attended the workshop. And she felt that after the workshop, their thinking wheels started moving, you know. So, and when one thing that about First Nations is respect. They have a lot of respect for their elders. Even people who have gone through quite a troubled life, when they look at an elder or speak to an elder, they're very, very humble. So when we start with smudging, which is essentially like showing sambrani in our culture, you know, showing.
Yes,
so just to clean the air. And then he starts with a prayer, a chant about the nature, and then he tells, gives a one of the stories of his life. So a lot of these elders have also gone through tough times, been in jail, gone through drugs, alcohol, reformed themselves, and then become elders. So one of the questions I asked the inmates who take the class is, do you think you have a chance to become an elder? They all laugh at the first class. Because, oh, we can't become an elder. You know, we are not eligible to be elder. Then when I get the elders to tell their stories and when I ask the same questions at the end, they say, yeah, we got to reform ourselves. Even if we're not elders, we should be elder-like. Mm-hmm. You know, use the qualities of an elder. So the humility that the First Nations have, you know, it's coming out slowly. When their elders said it's going to take 7 generations for them to come out of the struggles they've gone through. And it is not far off. I could see, even in the 10 years I've interacted with them, actually 15 years that I've interacted with them, I see a lot of lawyers, doctors, and, you know, legislators coming out of it. While they have their own political problem of politicians who are corrupt, but they are also having people who are willing to take the bull by the horn, as they say, and work with the community. So in a way, for all of us, the lesson is work with your community. Doesn't matter where you are, work with your community. If you can't work, so Swami says, community is not come to tea. You just work with them. You know, without purity, unity, divinity, the community doesn't work, you know, so.
Absolutely. Now, may I ask Dr. Ranga, how young are you?
Oh, I'm 73. I shouldn't say that because I'm 74. I'm going into 75. But I'm retired about 3 years. I still go to my office to provide some consulting service. But, you know, I develop a lot of contacts and friends in India and Canada. So I use the contacts actually now more about talk about Swami. A lot of them may not know that I am Swami's devotee, but at least know that I am teaching human values. So I use a lot of my colleagues as guest speakers in the Friendship Inn, Buffalo Youth Lodge, in the EGADS, in Pleasant Hill School. That particular school is where I started, as 80% of the students are from First Nations. So, in a way, as I'm teaching them, I'm also learning learning culture from them, you know.
Wow, that is really very cool and so powerful. All I can say is thank you, Dr. Ranga, for sharing these highlights of the selfless service that you're providing in your adopted home, fulfilling the dictum, bloom where you're planted. It's been great having you on the show.
Oh, thank you. It is actually, I find by doing service, I'm actually learning more than learning or facilitating. So, in a way, every step that I take is a new step for me, because I thank you for this opportunity and keep up God's work through Radio Sai.
And, sir, also thank you and all the wonderful people who have inspired you, whether it's Mrs. Tasmeen or Mr. Paldal or Brother Dev Taneja or Mr. T.R. Pillay, and all the good people who sustain and motivate each other and connect the dots so that Bhagwan's mission keeps going on very silently, penetrating to all parts of the world from the Arctic to the Antarctic. So it is so wonderful to have you and learn of the wonderful contributions you make to Canadian society in the name of our Lord Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, sir. So, dear listeners, what are your thoughts on this wonderful conversation with Dr. Ranga of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada? Please share your thoughts, comments and feedback to this live studio interview with my guest, Dr. Ranga of Canada. As always, you can send your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. And now, may I remind you, last week I played for you Mr. Rajesh Iyer's Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Part 1. Today, I'm ready with Part 2. And as I leave you to enjoy the rest of the interview, which is hosted by my colleague, Bishop Rushti, I urge you to keep your feedback coming as always to this episode of Morning Glory or any other Radio Sai programs at our email ID listener@radiosai.org. Over now to Part 2 of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Rajesh Iyer, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking, and may the divine hand of Bhagwan Baba always protect us all. Thank you for your company. Stay with us for the entire day and Jai Sai Ram.
So, just to give you a flashback on this story, right from my student days, I did have an urge to be a part of the bhajan group.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was any talented singer or something, but it's just that I wanted to be a part of the group just by playing even an instrument,
mm-hmm.
Just to have the close proximity, because bhajan boys themselves have amazing chances from Swami. So I mean,
just like when you saw the students sitting in the devotee section and you felt, I should be part of the student community. And once you become a student, then you want to be in the bhajan group.
Because you want to go to higher levels.
because you want something that is permanent, which give permanent access to his proximity.
Exactly.
Close proximity.
Exactly. So I did write some letters to Swami to bless me to be a part of that group. But Swami did take those letters. But as I said, none of the prayers goes unanswered. It will be answered at an appropriate time chosen by Swami himself. So it was one morning bhajan session when I was just sitting in the back. And so that particular morning bhajan session, the boy used to play ganjira. Didn't come for the morning bhajans, and the bhajan coordinator was because morning bhajans in those days was without mics, so the ganjira was required to be played to give the rhythm. So he was getting a bit worried as to what is going to happen. So I took a bold step in asking him that will he permit me to play the ganjira. He said, do you know how to play it? I said, you see, if you think I can play, then you allow me to play. He said, okay, if I feel that you're not playing properly, or if Swami gives me an indication that, you know, you should not play, then I will stop you midway. I said, completely.
So there's no trial session. I mean,
not trial session.
No trial. You're actually having the session in front of you. It's a live performance.
It all happened in 5 minutes. So bhajan started 9, and I think 8:55, this interaction is happening. So I said, yes, sir, I'll abide by whatever you say. Bhajan started. That was the first time I took the ganjira and played in Mandir and Swami's presence.
So you used to play in the samitis before?
Yeah, I used to play. So Swami came, and Swami sat for 25 minutes, and really physically was enjoying all the bhajans. Mm. And then at the end of the session, sir said, I think Swami is happy with what the way you played today. Mm. So now you need to formally ask him. Because, you know, in Prashantinilayam, you have to ask Swami's permission to be a part of the bhajan group. Mm. So next day morning, I sat where, at the front next to the tabla player. And when Swami came, I did say, Swami, can I play Ganjira? I would like to. And Swami permitted me. He said, yeah, play. Wow. Because the previous day, he was looking at me when I was playing. Mm. And so he identified me playing Ganjira. So I think I'm the first. I'm one of those who played first and then asked permission. So the audition was given.
Audition, yeah.
Was given before. Yes. And
you're doing an audition in front of Swami.
So he was happy with what I did. And then for the next 7 months, I was part of the Prashanti Bhajan group in terms of playing
such
Ganjira.
A huge blessing, isn't it? That illness that happened because of which you didn't clear the exam.
In fact, I always call myself a fortunate failure. I'm a very fortunate. Swami chose me to fail to give this opportunity. Mm. In fact, one more story during very for me, it's a very thrilling story which happened during the waiting days. Because I came to write my exam, I myself was sort of a bit confused whether I'm a waiting boy or I've just come to write the exam. Mm. I'm a really seriously waiting boy, and I used to discuss with a couple of my other friends, saying, what do you think? I should sit with you all because
other boys are waiting only for Swami's instruction to work in different institutions.
You're right. So I consciously thought that, my thought was that I have to come because am I really mentally prepared? If he asked me to work, really am I prepared? Mm. So that sort of confusion was going on because I thought to myself that if I'm not mentally prepared to work, I should not sit with them and enjoy all those chances. Mm. So that thing was going on, and I wrote a letter to Swami and said, Swami, you only tell me what am I, what should I do? So Swami did take that letter, and after a few days, Swami, on one particular morning session, called the brother who used to be close to Swami, and called him into the interview room and told him to distribute pens, Parker pens, to all the waiting boys in the portico. Mm. That, because I was so confused, I was sitting in the, I was not sitting in the, because I was very confused what I should do. Mm. So I was sitting in the extraneous block. Mm. So this brother came and gave pens to everybody. And so when the bhajan was supposed to start, I think the brother went inside again. And then he got one pen and he came to the extraneous block and he gave it to me. And he did ask me, why are you sitting here? You're supposed to sit there. So I didn't tell him anything, but he went inside and Swami told him that there's one more boy who was sitting there, that you go and give it to him. And he gave me a message that you are a part of this group. You don't have to sit there. And then by his grace,
everybody is waiting for his grace.
I started, you know, enjoying his proximity and the chances which he gave post the student was really amazing. And
I mean, what probably you didn't get in 5 years or 7 years of student life, you would have probably got in those 7 months.
Yeah, you're perfectly right. Amazing chances. Swami used to allow us to, I mean, each boy got a chance to push the footrest and right sitting under his under him for bhajans day in and day out. It was amazing. Mm. So
in fact, also, I mean, the other thought that comes to me is, you know, your attraction to this Sai movement, to Bhagwan, was bhajans. You know?
Exactly.
You know, it all began with bhajans.
Exactly.
And you always wanted to be, actually, as you joined, you wanted to be part of bhajan group. And it's sort of your student life also, towards its end, it's culminating with
exactly. That's why, bhajans. You know, when I connect these dots, nothing is without a significance. It's just that you have to contemplate on each and every story. Mm. You will know what, how it's all unfolding in this divine
and
plan.
Again, I feel this is quite a thing. Because, you know, you thinking of being a part of bhajan group, you not being, not really having any talent musically.
Correct.
You know, And you've already finished a student career.
Correct. And when I used to write these letters in my very initial part, when I was in school, then I stopped writing because there were stalwarts here. So I couldn't even
dream that I
never wanted to be somewhere near them.
Yeah.
But I think...
It was unthinkable again.
No, unthinkable. I didn't even venture to think about this. But I think...
Every slightest... thought, anything, any pure desire for God, any pure thought just to be near, I think He welcomes and He ensures that you get it. Because every pure thought is what He will ensure that it is fulfilled. Yeah. Wow.
I'm very convinced on one thought that today I tell myself that be careful in what you're asking from Swami. Ask for what He has come to give us. Don't ask something because there is nothing which will go unanswered.
Yeah.
Only thing, the time and the place is chosen by Him.
Yeah.
So you ask the right thing. Mm. So I'm very conscious about that fact today. So after that, in the year 2001, after I waited till March, and then I did ask Swami what I should do, and Swami said, "You go and serve your parents." And then I left, Swami had gone to Brindavan, so I went to Brindavan and was waiting, and by then most of the boys were placed, very few, five or six of us who were still waiting, and then, on one particular day, I did ask Swami, and Swami said, "You go and serve your parents." And then I left the portals of Swami's university as a student. The journey starts because that's the training ground for the 7 years, and now it gets into action. So, I must say that there were moments when the world really attracted me with all its so-called attractions which it has. In your heart, either the world is there or Sai is there. So for some years, I chose the world. I got carried away, and unfortunately I wasted those years choosing the world, but nevertheless I think even that, that is also His plan because if I don't pass through that journey, I will not understand the importance of the spiritual journey which He has come to give us. Because as I said, in Prashantalinam Brindavan as a student, it's just a training. It's all spiritual. When you go, you're exposed to the world, see what it is, see everything, and then come back to the source.
Yeah. And come back more confirmed. More determined. Yeah.
Exactly.
More sure about what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, so I joined the Indian capital markets from the finance background. So that was a break which I got through. So spent close to about 10 to 11 years in the capital markets, working in different organizations, handling investments for, high net worth individuals, institutions, and so this mutual funds and all those things. So it was thick of financial world which I was in.
So I mean, professionally you grew. I mean, you learned the ropes of the game and
exactly.
And can I ask you how much of the training that you received in Swami's Institute helped you in your professional career?
I must say that, whatever we have learnt in Swami's, as a student, as Swami's student, it's all this in our subconscious mind. You don't have to put effort when the time comes to get it out. However, outwardly, your behavior might create doubts in people that, is he a Sai student or is he a Swami student at times. But heart of heart, that love for Swami is so ingrained into our subconscious thing that at a situation which comes, I personally believe that, that the training comes with Swami's teachings come we by His grace, we tend to do the right things because how do we know we do the right things? Because the other person at a point of time says that, finding out from where you've come. Mm.
What is something different?
You're something different. What's the source of energy you're getting from? So that is the certificate where, you know, because when we do something, we don't know whether, you know, but the other person realizes that, oh, this guy is
You feel this is the normal thing to do.
Exactly.
You do it spontaneously, but for the other person, it is an exceptional behavior.
Exactly. Because that's something. Mm. Now, in the finance world, when you deal with so many different personalities, social drinking, social, you know, catch ups are all so normal, and as a part of so-called networking, just to ensure that, you know, you survive and be more smarter than the other and stuff. So, you know, at these many places, initially I was offered a lot of social drinks and stuff, and any which ways I never, you know, sort of encouraged or got influenced by all that. And it reached a point when one of my clients offered it, and they said, no, it's just nothing, it's just casual. My boss or my immediate boss said, oh, this boy is a spiritual boy, don't even offer him. So he gave me a certificate. He told my client that don't offer him, he's a spiritual guy, he has a very strong spiritual foundation. He didn't say anything because he knew that that I was Swami's student, but he didn't take Swami's name. But to the client he says, no, don't offer him this, is you do anything, you're not going to touch it. So those sort of certificates,
you have sort of created that image for yourself.
Exactly. And again, in this financial world, you know, you are tempted by many personalities and entities with lot of so-called I don't know the right word, but let's put it as gifts, which would you know, sort
like
of
favors disguised as gifts.
Favors sort of favor a lot of people in terms of, because at a point of time in my later part of a career, I used to handle a big fund in terms of investments, a lot of mutual funds and many other financial intermediaries like banks and all used to visit me and offer different favors and all, so that they could get an opportunity or a piece of cake onto that big chunk which I was sitting. Again, that's where Swami's strong influence comes, and it overtakes all the other influences, because if you get tempted, it's very tempting. Trust me, it's very tempting when it's a lot of money and things involved,
and it's easy money.
You're right. But you know, if you get trapped into that, you really get trapped, because then you become a slave in that entire thing. So I was very conscious in all those things.
You lose your freedom, you lose your compass, right?
Yeah, you cannot make any decision. Your decisions are all based on those favors which you have taken from them. And you're not doing the right thing for the company which you're sort of employed with. So those are those things which really Swami's teachings and Swami's love for Swami in that subconscious came forth and ensured that none of those things really tempted me. And many people were really asking that, why? What is the reason that, you know,
why on earth someone would not take this?
Yeah, I mean, there were two or three big personalities that are saying that, there's people like you and the other organizations, they fall so easily. What will make, you know, you fall into all these things? Then
we were able to manage so many people. They were not able to manage you.
Yeah, so that's what
quote unquote manage. Yeah,
you're right. And these are all those things which I treated as a certificate of, because at the end of the day, Swami has asked that the only gratitude which as a student I can give Swami is not to spoil his name.
Yes,
and that he has expressed into many forums that, you know, boys don't. Never ever do something which will spoil my name. And I know that if this thing happens, at a point of time, you know, your name will get into, there are so many stories which creates a negative image, not only for you, but for all others who have been mentoring you. And So those are things which really, and one very classic incident I'll tell you from my professional life. As I said, I was handling a big corpus, treasury and investments in my last, before I left for Australia. So I had given a set of funds to a particular, financial agency to manage those funds under my recommendation. And they were managing that funds, and, so because, you know, markets is all about uncertainty, because of whatever reason or not efficient management of funds, we incurred a substantial loss mm-hmm. on that particular investment in a very short period of time. So I could have easily told my management that, you know, I recommended, but it was not my inefficiency, but their inefficiencies, because mm-hmm. I didn't manage it. They managed. I just recommended that fund.
Mm-hmm.
So it and beyond that, it was nothing.
Yes.
You know, my involvement was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When I got the report, when I saw such huge losses, I decided to go to the chairman and managing director myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go to my CFO, that is the chief financial officer, mm. telling him that, you know, what is the thing. But I did go to him and say that this is the losses. He said, mm. what you're planning to do? He said, I can't go to the chairman and managing director to talk about this.
Mm.
He said, sir, you don't worry, I will go and talk.
Mm-hmm.
I told him that I own this responsibility, I'll go and talk. So he said, are you sure you can handle this? So I said, I will handle it. You don't have to worry, you don't go. So he said, okay, you go. And so one particular, because it's very difficult to get his sort of audience with him,
mm-hmm.
one particular evening when I waited till night, 8 o'clock, when all the staff went, and he was in the office, the chairman, mm-hmm. because generally he gets free around that time and nobody mm-hmm. is there to disturb him. So I knocked at his door and I walked into, he said, what? Then I showed him this report. I said, sir, this is what has happened. He said, how did this happen? I said, sir, the markets have been bad and this is the reason, whatever reasons I had,
yeah.
which was
explaining,
which was, I felt the real reasons, I said.
Mm.
He said, now who owns this responsibility? I said, sir, I own this responsibility. That I didn't put that agency. I said, sir, I own this responsibility. Then he looked at me for a few seconds, very intently. He said, do you know what does this mean?
Mm.
He said, sir, if you think that you want me to leave the organization, I'm happy to leave it, but the responsibility lies with me. I recommended it, so the responsibility lies with me. He looked at me again and he said, nobody in my life has told this. I have seen many people mm. who have done mistakes
and passed it to us.
Yeah, he said, you are the first person who comes mm. and owns responsibility.
And when it comes to credit, everyone wants to take the credit.
Exactly.
But when it comes to discredit,
correct,
nobody wants to own it.
Correct.
And he wants to pass on to the other person.
So he told me that you are the first person who is sitting right in front of me and saying that I have done it, I have owned the responsibility. He said, you don't worry, nothing will happen to you, I will take care of it, you leave it with me. And then he said, just go and resume your work normally. Don't, this issue is mine issue, don't worry.
Wow.
And again, from where did I get the
courage?
It's nothing. It's subconsciously that courage, because you don't, like we as science students don't have to put effort, I believe. That's my mm. personal experience. We don't have to put effort to do right things. It's there in us.
Mm.
It comes at the right time by His grace,
yes.
is what I believe.
I mean, and you are ready for anything, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone will think that, you know, what will happen to my career, what will happen to my job.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so foolish to do a thing like this.
Exactly. And that, because of that fear, that's
yeah.
the reason why
yeah.
they pass the buck to others.
Yes.
But
yeah.
when you're on the side of the truth.
Truth,
saying
yes.
that, you know, I've
yeah.
done this.
Truth will actually empower you.
It empowers, and at the end of the day,
yes.
when you take the side of truth.
Truth, yeah.
Your mind will never, the fear is gone.
Fear is gone, yeah.
The fear is completely gone. What is mm. left is faith.
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you tell? Because you're the owner of the organization. You have the right to
yes.
tell me, you have a right to tell me to quit the job.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I've recommended.
Yes.
I've it's my responsibility.
Yes.
And he said that, you know, because of that,
yes.
What you said just now, and he told not to meet to the CFO as a letter,
okay.
that because of that thing, I think this boy is something which we have to invest a lot of time on him.
Wow.
And they gave me a lot of other assignments after that.
Wow. In fact, you know, many people would think that doing a thing like that is not going to be profitable for me, you know, worldly wise.
Correct.
But what we realize with time is standing by truth is actually the most profitable thing that you can do in your life.
Always. Always.
Isn't it?
Always.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it will defy logic. It will defy reason. You cannot think of it in the worldly terms, because these things are beyond our understanding of logic and reason and the way the world works, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because you're depending on something much higher.
Yeah, and yeah. What is this, that when you go with a straight approach, what by His grace I did, I didn't have to plan.
Yeah.
What am I going to say? I just said what is the fact.
Fact, yeah.
And that's what really, you know, impressed him.
Mm.
If I had to really plan how am I going to escape out of the situation? Yes. That's where you know
you could have created some stories. Very easy.
Yeah. It was very easy to create a story, I think that was not the right path. And I think His grace really prompted me to take the right path at that point of time.
Wow, and in fact, the motto of our university is Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. I mean, that is what minimum thing that Swami always wanted.
Exactly.
As if you are a former student of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning,
exactly.
Then there should be that passion to walk on the path of truth and follow righteousness.
Wow. Exactly.
Fantastic. Wow. So, quite... it was a fantastic learning experience, isn't it? In terms of professionally, also trying to walk on the path of values in the busy, mad world of business. I mean, in the difficult world of business, isn't it?
It is difficult. It is difficult, especially... to be truthful and honest and be a man of high integrity. It's very, very difficult because you're a minority and you're facing a majority who is on the other side.
Yes.
Very powerful, very influential. So
they can, you know, if you're even a little afraid, they will capitalize on
that. Exactly.
Even if they find a little bit of weakness in you in any sphere, they will latch onto it.
They feed on your fear and weakness.
Yeah.
They feed on that. They just identify what is your weakness.
Weakness, yeah.
That's the thing.
Hmm.
So that's been my professional experience where Swami's teachings have really helped me to carry on. What's up?
It just continuously reinforced in you, isn't it? That I have to hold on, I think.
Exactly.
Every time it happened.
See, after all those things, not that... different challenges don't come. It will come. You know, it's not that, you know, one story, the end is over, new story comes up. Which is fine because I remember once in Tri session, Swami telling us man is born to suffer based on whatever. Yes. If he's not born to suffer, he won't be born as a man. So
there's some karma that has to be worked out.
So that's the reality. So we should be conscious of this reality that one story leads to the next story.
Yeah.
We have to just... Mm. But the beautiful thing is we have to be very conscious of the journey. That's where the unseen hand is seen.
Mm.
And the end will, of course, be by His grace, will be wonderful because you're enjoying His unseen hand.
Yes.
So the end will always be the beautiful thing.
Yeah, it will be glorious as long as you are focused on Him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I should say that capital markets really... is quite a spiritual thing because you approach the markets, the basis of the markets is uncertainty.
Uncertainty, yeah.
So you deal with clients, you deal with different emotions. There are emotions of excitement. There are
it's
emotions,
a mind game.
There are emotions of agony.
Yeah.
There are emotions of different spiritual behavior.
So
that's
people
very
suddenly get philosophical.
You're right. So it's very, very...
Money comes and goes because money will just come in the morning and the evening, everything will be...
Especially when they make huge losses, they become extremely philosophical.
I know.
But I should say in the year 2007, 2008, when the subprime crisis hit the global markets, I was victim to that.
Hmm.
I did lose my job at that point of time. For 3 months, at that point of time, I did have a bit of... ego thing that, you know, I have a lot of friends and associates who would help me to take care. But honestly, you know, the true friend is Swami and nobody else at that point of time. It's all, you know, when the ship is afloat, it's fine. When the ship sinks, it really sinks.
You're alone then.
You're alone then.
Only with Him.
Only with Him. So at that point of time, one particular day when my financial condition was really getting bad to worse, I went into my altar room in my house and I literally knelt down like a Christian would kneel down in front of Jesus and raised my hand. I said, Swami, I surrender. I don't know what to do. And prompt, very strong inner voice came as, why? And I was thinking...
Swami's asking why you want to surrender.
Why? No, Swami is asking, just use the word why.
Why?
I didn't understand what was he saying, because generally what you expect Swami to say, you know, don't worry, I'll take care, and all those things, you know, what we think Swami should reply. We decide what he should reply. So he said, why? And I was like really contemplating on that. And in the next couple of minutes, again, the next very strong inner voice came, why should I help you? That really prompted me to think through that, yes, why should Swami help me? What have I done for Swami that Swami should help me? So I didn't have an answer. Honestly, I didn't have any answer to that question, because I didn't do anything for him in terms of what he wanted me to do. I didn't get any thoughts. So I kept quiet, and with his grace, he gave me an answer. He said, you do my work, I will do your work.
Wow.
That's the only answer he gave me. You do my work, I will do your work. I caught hold on to that statement very strongly, and it was somewhere at the midweek when I got this experience. The next Sunday, I got to my Sai Center for a bhajan.
So you have not visited Sai Center for quite some time then?
I used to visit very rarely, like once in 3 months, four months, and as it's very dry period, I was... So I visited the Sai Center. One of the brothers in the Sai Center came up to me and said, you know, the Maharashtra youth is forming a core team which will supervise all the youth activities across Maharashtra. So I have recommended your name. And that came out of a jolt, because I was never active in Sai organization. So why will he recommend my name? But my immediate thought was Swami saying, do my work, I will do your work. So I immediately said yes, and for the next 2 or 3 months, we had a conference by the name Dare to be Divine in about 15 locations across
Maharashtra. Dare to be Divine.
Dare to be Divine.
Wow.
which was a theme where we were 14 or 15 of us, we went to each different locations in Maharashtra, spoke to the local youth. I was told to share some experiences of Swami, sort of motivate them, encourage them to do a lot of Sai activities. So, and we visited a lot of villages across Maharashtra. And meantime, you know, something was started happening in my job front in terms of interviews were coming through. I had told Swami that, Swami, I want to come to Prashanthi Nilayam with my appointment letter. So when he said, do my work, I said, Swami, I will do your work, but and I will come and see you when I get my appointment letter. So I just, it's a prayer, and that's all. So 2 months down the line, this youth group had decided to visit Prashanthi Nilayam to show Swami what all activities we did. And they booked my ticket as well. By then, I didn't get my job. But of course, at one particular organization, I was in an advanced stage of, you know, in terms of discussion, in terms of a job opportunity. We were supposed to leave on a Thursday, I remember, to Prashanthi Nilayam. And Thursday evening, I rang up to the organization and said that, have you finalized? Because I wanted the appointment letter before I leave, and I couldn't tell this youth group anything about this. So the person who interviewed me said, hasn't the human resource department called you up? I said, no, they have not called. He said, okay, I will tell them. They might call you. They will definitely call you in some time. So I didn't understand sometime would be today or after 2 days or after 2 weeks. I don't know. Lo behold, at about 7 o'clock in the evening, the human resource, trust me, it's not a routine. It's something rare. The human resource guys called me and said, because at that time all supervisors leave and nobody does active business at that point of time. So, they called me and they said, can you send me all your, salary details of your previous organization? We are trying to structure some package for you and things. So we need some details from you. So I did send. I did ask him that when can I expect something. He said that in a couple of days. I remember this word. They said a couple of days you should get something from us. You'll hear back from us. That was the words. I said fine. But any which way, since they said that you'll leave, I said, Swami, okay, I'm not coming with my appointment letter, but definitely with some conviction that you are going to sort of take care of me here. At 8 o'clock, the HR, the guy calls me back. He said, we have emailed you the appointment letter. Just check whether the details are right or not. It is 8 o'clock in the evening. And we were supposed to catch a train at 10:30 in the night. And I had to leave my house to catch the train at 8:30 in the evening. And 8 o'clock in my email box, this letter comes. I go to the nearby cyber cafe. I take a printout of that appointment letter. And I start my trip to Prashanthanagar. Not even one word or one assurance for me is given will go. Will fail. Never, never.
You do my work, and he's prompt actually.
Very prompt. He said, you do my work, I'll do your work, and that's one experience.
Wow.
That's one beautiful story which happened. And,
wow. So that probably would have only inspired you to just dedicate more and more time to his
work. Yeah, and in fact, that it really culminated into a beautiful, because this group of boys got very close chances when Swami visited Harshi and Mumbai in 2009.
Yes.
So we got chances to, like, I was fortunate enough to be in Swami's bungalow in Dharmakshetra for those 3-4 days.
Swami staying in Mumbai.
Swami was staying in Mumbai. And that was my last physical close proximity with Swami. And he gave us, so the day before he left Dharmakshetra, he gave us clothes, he took photographs, he spoke to all of us. A very, very beautiful session.
Mm.
So I think this Swami pulled me to this group, made me work, and even gave me the gift of his grace at the end. So
and it just happened, you know. I mean, that with the meltdown was a huge blessing.
I think major failures in my life has been a huge blessing, and I think that's really, so that's been my wonderful experience.
Fantastic. So what took you to Australia in 2015?
Very interesting, actually. And I think that is the most amazing experience which I had, and that really convinced me personally that Swami has not gone anywhere. He's there amongst us, and he will always be there taking care of all of us, and this experience proves it all. Like, I got married in the year 2004, and my brother-in-law, you know, he is settled in New Zealand. So he has always encouraged us that why don't you come abroad and settle, the quality of life is better. But so since 2005, my wife was that sort of having discussions with me or sort of motivating me to consider migrating abroad and things. So I was trying to avoid that thing, because one was Swami was physically in Parthi, so my access, because alumni meets and many things, I used to
keep coming to Parthi.
Yeah, I used to try and make 3 or 4 visits to Parthi in a year. So that was a very big motivating factor for me not to leave India.
Mm.
But from 2005 to almost till 2013, this discussions on with between me and my wife, but never I took it very seriously. 2013, I and my wife had a short holiday in Dubai. And when we went to Dubai, I just saw the infrastructure and a bit of quality of life. What she was saying is better. I really felt that it's better, and I thought that, okay, now the time has come to think through very seriously. So what I didn't do from 2005 to 2013, I just came back to Bombay after the holiday, and I found out a migration agency and just enrolled and finished off in 2 months. I enrolled and they recommended me that, you know, there are only 2 countries which give you permanent residencies. One is Australia, one is Canada. And they looked out my background, the financial background, that they said Australia is a better option for you, because most of the IT jobs are in Canada and most of the financial jobs are in Australia. So you should think through for Australia. I said, okay, that's fine. So we did apply for our residency visas in the year 2013. It takes about 1 year. And in October 2014, we got our permanent residency visas. Now, at this point of time, a major episode happened in our lives, in my family life. And I think that's where at the end of the story, I would like to connect those dots. How important it is to realize there's nothing called coincidence, all Swami walking through us. So in the month of November, a few days after we got our residency visas, just a brief background, somewhere in the month of October or something, my wife was complaining about a back pain. We all have back pain, so just a normal back pain, which was not subsiding with any sort of treatment like physiotherapy or something. So finally, she insisted the doctor that she wanted to take an MRI just to ensure that, you know, is there any issue with the bone has broken or any of such issues too. So she took an MRI and it threw a suspicion of a bone cancer, first of all.
Oh my God.
It threw a suspicion, first of all. And then we took other tests and all those things. We were referred to an oncologist. And in November, first week, when they took a biopsy, they confirmed it was a breast cancer, which has spread to our bones.
Oh my God.
We have limited knowledge about this disease. We just know what stage, you know, we keep asking what stage. So I did ask doctor that what stage she is, and he said, once it is a metastatic, it is stage 4. It's the stage 4 cancer. So when we got the visas, the rule of the visa is we must enter Australia before a particular date and get it stamped on your passport, and then you can enter in the next 4 years anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So our date was April, before April of 2015, we have to enter Australia. Now this was November of 2014. So, we went to a lot of oncologists, you know, just to understand how do we do it. So, I remember the first oncologist we met, he was very, very positive, very amazing doctor. And we met a few more who were very negative. So, finally, I told my wife, let's go back to the first guy. I think he's very positive guy. Because the last doctor which we met, we said we want to go to Australia for one day. Because she took some radiation on her back, because her back was to just make it stable before they could start the chemotherapy on her. So, that doctor said that, I remember the doctor telling me, are you mad taking her in this condition to Australia? You should start the chemotherapy immediately. Now we know that if you take chemotherapy, you know, the immunity goes down. We thought we may not make it up to the April to go to Australia. So I went back to the first doctor and I said that, sir, can we do this trip? He said, you can go. And because after you do your radiation, we have to give 1 week to 10 days time before we can start the chemotherapy. So you go to Australia, and we made a trip to Australia for 1 day.
Oh,
we went on a Friday, came back on a Monday, just to get the stamping and get our visas validated. And that particular trip, one of our Sai brothers was in Australia, in Canberra, from where I belong. He helped us. He touched base with a local oncologist. So we met and showed my wife's report to the oncologist. He understood the case. So he said, okay, there are a couple of treatments which are available here, which is funded by the government. So anything that is funded by the Australian government is free for the patient. So he said that you finish your chemotherapy treatment in India and come back, because for her, the treatment what was suggested is chemotherapy and then something called as a maintenance. So every 21 days, she has to take something to maintain the growth of tumors. So, you know, that drug helps you that the tumors don't grow. So she finished her chemotherapy in the month from November. So we started and she finished in February. She had to take weekly chemos. And we took a scan. So everything, she responded very well to the treatment. So in the month of March, we made a trip again to Australia just to ensure that, you know, we do all the formalities in terms of whatever is required to get her treatment properly done in Australia. So at that time, we met this doctor again, which we met for 1 day in. And I should tell you that in Australia, to meet an oncologist in the public system, it takes one month of waiting.
Oh.
Because that's the waiting time. But by his grace, this doctor is a Sai devotee.
Oh.
He invited us to his residence to meet.
Wow.
He means to meet him is very difficult. And that's where Swami's unseen hand works. So in the month of March 2015, we went for 1 week. After she finished this chemotherapy, she was fit enough again by his grace to take her to Australia. We did all the formalities. We met this doctor again. And this doctor said that, you know, there is a drug which is recently introduced, because cancer research is, you know, the research keeps on going and new drugs keeps coming on. So there is a drug which is very effective to improve the survival rate in the cancer patients. So, but the drug is not funded by the Australian government till now. So it is very expensive. So I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just saying the drug is available in Australia. So that was not available in India. So we went back, we understood that, and we came back, and the Indian doctor said, oh, you guys are going to Australia. In India, this drug isn't the same drug. It's not available. In Australia, it might be available. Just see through. If you can get it, just take it because it's very effective. So we said, of course, we took his advice, we finished. So in June I decided, so all my medical insurances were up till June. So we finished that and we migrated to Australia. By that, in Australia, this doctor had arranged everything for a treatment, which if you go as a normal public patient, takes a lot of time. Now, this is where Hansi Nand of Swami, he arranged everything.
Wow.
For us, it was like a VIP treatment where doctors were calling us, okay, your appointment dates, instead of we calling, when can we come and all. 29th June of 2015, we met the oncologist in, who was the breast cancer specialist lady, doctor in Australia. So she said, have you heard that there's a new drug which is, we had heard this new drug from different doctors, but we know that it is not funded by the Australian government. So I said, yes, doctor, I heard about it, but I think it's not funded by the Australian government. He said, no, from July 1st, it is funded by the Australian government.
Oh.
From July 1st, can you imagine the timing?
My God.
I mean, so in the month of March, he said it's not funded. In July, from July 1st, it was funded by the government. I said, wonderful. So, but she said that, you know, the government has approved along with the first line of treatment, which first line of treatment in the cancer world is chemotherapy. But your wife has already finished chemotherapy, so I need to find out. But I'm interested in giving this drug to your wife because I want to see her response. I left it to, because all this I'm not even asking Swami. He's doing it,
I mean,
so wonderful.
Everything is so amazingly timed by him.
I mean, I'm not even asking Swami. So that's why when I want to just rewind back to my 12th grade when Swami held my hand.
Yes.
He's not living it even today. And about 5-7 days after, we got a call from the hospital saying that your next treatment date is so-and-so. And she was administered the new drug.
Wow.
Approved by the government. So, you know, how this is happening, what's happening.
Just
even,
in time.
Even the side, the oncologist who is a side devotee, he himself was surprised. He said, I didn't want to give you hope.
False hope.
False hope, because there are so many things involved. When I came to know that your wife has been administered this drug, honestly, I'm surprised. I can see Swami's hand in this. And since then, by His grace, you know, Swami has been taking care of her till now, and I'm sure that, you know, His unseen hand is there. And as I've been emphasizing in the past, the journey has become so beautiful that today both my family, that me, my wife, even my daughter, we are so committed to Swami and His activities, because after doing so much, if I don't do this much, that's why, you know, today nothing, because we, today for us, life is only doing Swami's work, chanting Swami's name, thinking of Swami always. Nothing else. Tomorrow, if I have a job, if I don't have a job, doesn't matter. 2007, it mattered. Now it doesn't matter. If anything happens to us in terms of health or anything, will it impact me mentally? Yes, it will impact. It's not that, you know, I've not reached those levels. I think so. I don't know. When a situation comes, we'll see. But I think so. But definitely I've become spiritually matured in understanding that His unseen hand is working so beautifully that He will never allow anything which will shake my faith in Him. He will test me.
Yes.
Definitely He will test me. And it is good. As I said, when Mother Kunti asked,
yes,
even I also asked today, as I said, today I'm choosing my prayers. I said, Swami, I just give me this blessing that I think of you always. I chant your name always. I do your work always. And that is the only important thing. Rest, everything is secondary. So it also has taught us a sense of detachment to everything in the world. So,
because, you know, anything can happen at any moment, but the only thing permanent is Him.
And the amount of stories what I've narrated, you can just see His unseen hand, how He has been protecting. And should I go back and ask Swami, are you still taking care of me? Or should I go and ask Swami, what should I do for you, Swami?
Yes.
I don't want anything else from you now.
Yes.
You tell me what you want me to do. And trust me, in the last, and Swami has been guiding me, Swami has been telling me, I have not brought you to Australia to do normal work. You're going to do my work.
Absolutely. I mean, that is what, from the time when he said that you do my work and I will do your work, and, you know, he's complete, not that he was not looking after before, but now he has made it more and more obvious.
Yeah. And in fact, I'm telling you, the number of opportunities he has given me to do his work is tremendous, tremendous. Mm. And he has shown me his presence in every work. And at point of times when I go and sit in my altar and just think through, Swami says, this is nothing. Wait and watch.
Oh.
Wait and watch. Wait and watch. I don't know. And that's really inspiring me to do more and more and more work.
You just want to grab. You want to grab
that opportunity.
Grab the opportunity.
That opportunity. It will never ever come back.
Never
so
ever come back.
That's
and
something.
That holds true even now. Physically, when Bhagwan was there, what it was, it is the same even now.
Even now. Tell me, this is happening in 2015, brother. This is happening in 2015.
Yes.
It's not happening when his physical form was there.
Yes.
And this is happening so emphatically that how can I land on a particular date? How can it become government funded on a particular date? Now I must say, this is almost 2.5 years she's taking that drug.
Mm.
That drug costs close to 4 lakh rupees.
Oh my
every
God.
Every 21 days.
My
now,
God.
Now, can you imagine 2005 to 2013, I was never motivated to go abroad. Why did that motivation came? Because Swami knew that in 2014 this was going to come.
Yes.
Swami,
in India you would not probably would, you couldn't have never done it. You couldn't have afforded it.
The doctor told me in India that people don't die of the disease. People die because they can't afford the treatment.
Treatment.
Beyond a point.
Hmm.
So that's why, you know, that's mortality rate is because of that. Yes. Now he just lifted me and put me in a place where she is getting those medicines free of cost.
Free grace.
How much, what else can I ask from him?
Mm.
I cannot ask him anything else.
Wow.
I mean, the only thing I can ask him that, Swami, give me opportunity to offer my life to you.
Mm. Wow.
That's all.
Fantastic. I mean, that is the only thing that your soul feels complete. That is the only thing that, you know, comes to your mind whenever you look at Swami's photograph, isn't it? I mean, how much ever you cry, it's only now only tears of gratitude. It's only tears of gratitude.
Right, completely.
And you only pray that, Swami, how to even do at least a little for all that, you know, that you have done and you continue to do. And even at times when we have forgotten, even at times when we have gone astray, you again hold, you bring us back, and you continue to shower.
In lifetimes to come, we cannot offer what he has done for us.
Mm.
Never.
Wow. And also, it's also very interesting that, you know, you were in the financial world all these years and suddenly you are in Australia now in the Department of Agriculture. That's also quite interesting actually for me. What was all the time happening is soul culture, I know.
That's why, I mean, do I need to be ambitious? If I have to be ambitious on what, I should be ambitious. I was a finance guy, now I'm an IT guy. What am I? Tomorrow I might be a doctor, who knows?
Yeah, anything is possible.
I mean, if he wills, anything is possible.
Yeah, because you, I can't imagine that you're part of the bhajan group, so anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So, I mean, those are those things which really brings back that conviction that, you know, you're just a puppet in his hands.
Yeah.
Just realize that fact and let him walk through you.
Hmm.
Let him walk through you. He will work wonders. But give him an opportunity.
Yes, yeah. We have to give him that opportunity.
And Swami said once that, you know, open your heart and let me sit.
Hmm.
If you just close your heart, and I'm standing at the door, knocking at it. So I'm just saying that, I just say that, Swami, my heart is open, it's open, and you please said I want to close it. I don't want anything else.
As Mr. Popat always says, you know, Swami will operate, but we have to cooperate.
That's beautiful.
Most of the times, you know, we feel, no, what will... It's like we are afraid to leave our hold on the world. We are afraid to leave our hold on so many things, you
Correct.
Know. We hold to Swami, but on the other hand, we want to still hold the world because we are not sure, you know, many times.
Correct.
We think what will happen, what will happen. But he is just waiting actually for you to leave that. If you
Correct.
Leave the other hand and hold him with both the hands, then you actually have the thrill. He will lift you up actually.
Exactly.
But we think if you leave this, we'll go down.
You're right. Actually, I think those tests which he's testing all our lives, what I personally do myself is I'm very conscious that, you know, okay, this is what he has given. okay, this is his prasadam. This is his prasadam. Yeah. Because then only your mind will accept the faith. Otherwise, it will take the path of fear. So if I surrender to him, I immediately contemplate on all the things which he has done for me. And then I ask, question my mind, now you tell me, should I go this way or that way? And it's a sadhana by itself.
Yes.
It's a sadhana by itself. Like, you know, it's beautiful when you're completely into Sai's, into Sai life. You think of him, you chant his name, you do his work. 24 hours, he is talking to you. Yes. Trust me, he's talking to you. Just listen. Yes. He's wonderful things. You listen. It's...
Wow.
And I would, you know, with your permission, if I want, I just want to sort of end with this, this thing. I've been an avid, avid listener of Sai Radio Sai. In fact, all the series are listening. In fact, since 2014 when I completely went into Sai, I keep listening to Radio Sai, I keep listening to Samarpan Talks. But the only fact is to reinforce that faith again and again. And
you live on this, you feed on this.
Feed on this. You snub your mind and say, this is the reality, this is the reality.
Yeah.
And I pray to Swami. Swami, there are so many things happened with me in my life. And I think there are so many devotees out there who are facing different challenges. Will you give me an opportunity to share this? When I come to Prashantaranyam, this is what I pray to Swami.
Oh, really?
This is what I pray to Swami. You won't believe.
Oh.
Yesterday. This is yesterday's story. I went to the bookstall and I was walking. I saw so many boys. There were about 350 boys. I said, in this vast, sort of student audience, will I get this opportunity to share this? Because the world should know.
Yes.
Because we feed on each other's experience.
Yes.
And because we need that. Because I listen to Samarpan Talks and all. I feed on others' experiences as well. I said, Swami, please give me this opportunity. And see what's happening. So this morning I spoke to you
and you didn't speak to me. I actually spoke to you. I don't know what prompted me, but
I went back again, I just closed my eyes and Swami said, go and speak. This is your time.
Wow.
So I mean, he's talking to you. Listen to him. He's talking to you.
Wow. In fact, in the morning, the brother who spoke, he said the only USP, the unique selling proposition as it is called in the marketing jargon of any Sai student is Swami, Swami and Swami.
Forever.
Forever. And it's true for Sai student, for Sai devotee, for anyone who knows Sai. It's actually true for everyone. Other people, they'll just come to know of it.
Correct.
With time to come. But
correct.
I think, as you said, only when we share these, we are doing our job of making this place, this world a better place, helping more people to know how to live their lives beautifully.
Exactly.
Isn't it? I mean, your life, even though there are so many setbacks, but everything has only become a stepping stone.
Exactly.
To experiencing more and more grace.
Exactly. I completely agree with what you said, because I'll tell you that the My Sai and I is a program which we just started in Australia 2 years back, which is online with Samarpan. And what has inspired me was when I heard one of the student brothers telling this in one of his Samarpan talks. When he was leaving the portals of this university, he did ask Swami, what is that we can give you back as a gratitude? And Swami did say this to him, and that's what has, that's the inspiration which I got in terms of where Swami helped, used me and other brothers as an instrument to start this My Sai and I program. Swami said, I've chosen few of you all to give that experience, to get that experience of my love. Share it with my devotees and make them happy.
Wow.
This is what Swami told this boy.
Share it with the devotees and make them happy.
And that will make me happy.
Oh, wow.
This he completed. And that is one one statement which I heard, I took it and I said that we have to share this because back in Australia, there are some brothers who have never seen physically Swami, but their motivation is the stories.
Yes.
They look up to Swami's personality based on what you and I share.
Yes.
And I think time has come that we as the brother, right, as ambassadors of Sai, Swami has chosen us to get that experience of His love. And I think it is our duty to share it with all and share the joy and instill that hope and faith in them that He is there. He is there.
Wow. I mean, that's very phenomenal. Swami is saying, share and make them happy, and this is what make me happy. Yeah. And today is the day when each one is wishing the other Happy New Year, Happy New Year. And Swami has told, I mean, I would, for me, this is the message on this new year. Exactly. 2018 is a very, very divine year. Because you see 18 in the number, and you know, you always think of 9 and divine and all that.
Exactly.
But, I think this is the message that Swami wants perhaps to give all of us. It's time now that we have to share the glory of His story.
Exactly.
And everyone is His story. Exactly. And every story has to be shared so that the world revels in His glory.
Exactly.
And I think when the world revels in His glory, there'll only be goodness and there'll only be happiness. Satyam Shivam Sundaram.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother, for coming to the studios. Of course, we can only be grateful to Bhagwan for enabling this session to happen and for giving us this blessing of thinking about Him and contemplating on Him and just filling ourselves with His love so that we can go one more step closer, learning how to lead a life so that at the end of it, He can only look up to us and say, I am proud of you. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Prishti. I really want to thank Swami for giving this opportunity. I want to thank Radio Sai. And I would really look forward for any opportunity in which I can be of any use in His seva. Thank you and Sai Ram.